John Gambling with special co-host Mayor Michael Bloomberg on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Now, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
And here we go. Good morning, everybody. Friday, Mayor Michael Bloomberg time here on the John Gambling Show. Good morning.
Good morning. I was noticing people walking by me this morning, we're all bundled up. This is spring.
Yeah, well, you heard about the guy out in the lawyer out in Ohio that wants to condemn Punxsutawney Phil to the death sentence for a misdiagnosis.
I just glanced at the article, but I was reading this
Staten
morning.
Staten Island Chuck is worried.
I'm sure he is. All of most of England is covered with snow. They have a lot of snow this year. They had a lot more snow than we did.
Global warming.
And they're in the middle of the, I don't know if it is or it isn't, but they're in the middle of the Gulf Stream. That's why England's much warmer than we are. England is actually the same latitude as Newfoundland, so it should be a lot colder, but it isn't.
No, because the stream ends up there.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's global warming, but no question, the oceans are. I was looking at some numbers because we're working on an evaluation of Sandy and what's going to happen and how we should prepare. We were about a month or so away from a report that we had promised to have. We'll have it in May, I think, when we promised it. But the oceans are a good foot higher than they were 50 years ago and look like they'll be a good 2 feet higher like 20, 30 years from now. If you have that kind of normal ocean, a storm comes much further inland all over every place.
No, I've heard the numbers. I've also lived by the water here in New York my entire life, and the levels at the docks are exactly the same as they were 50 years ago. So that's just my anecdotal, no measurement, no science.
You do not remember how they were 50 years ago. Incidentally, those docks have been rebuilt 5 times already.
No, they're the same. Anyway, you and I have always...
Well, these are measurements that scientists take. Yeah. I don't think there's any question about that. And they're warmer, and that's why the storms are bigger and stronger. And there's some very strange weather. There's a lot of parts of this country that are in drought, which normally aren't. A lot of parts of this country that have had enormous storms that they normally do. New York City, for example, we've had virtually no snow for 2 or 3 years now. That is very unusual.
Let's keep it that
Although
way.
New England, it's come right around us. New England has a lot of these small stuff, small changes.
It's still a major mystery, even for the scientists.
Well, it's a major mystery. No argument about that. But the argument I would make is let's assume that global warming really is taking place. Do you want to wake up or have your kids wake up 20, 30 years from now and find it's too late to reverse some things?
We'll save that discussion for another time.
Okay.
I know.
Fair enough.
What the mayor usually tells me when I disagree with him is that you have a right to be wrong.
There are clearly things that are different, whether or not they're cyclical long-term. No, nobody really
Absolutely
does.
Absolutely so. Vice President visited yesterday on the gun issue.
We were honored to have
the horror gun issue, the fact that Washington's not doing anything.
We had some families, the family of one of the teachers who was killed trying to save the kids and the families of two of the children who were killed. And what do you say to
nothing?
Right, nothing. All you can say is, look, we'll try to make it better so it doesn't happen again. That's the only thing you can say. Biden has been the real stand-up guy here. He and the president have introduced some legislation. Newspapers, the Post and the News, particularly the News, has gone after this and said this is a disgrace that they're unwilling to do something.
Most of the papers have. Not all, but a lot
of
them.
Yeah. I mean, this 80 or 90% of the public, when you survey them, want reasonable gun restrictions. They want to protect the Second Amendment, but they also want to keep guns out of the hands. Practically everybody, 80 or 90%, agree guns should not be sold to minors, to people with criminal records, to people with substance abuse or mental problems. And yet that's all we're really trying to do here, and Congress doesn't have the courage to stand up and do it.
After Newtown, everybody stepped forward to the microphones to talk about the outrage, which is a normal thing. Nancy Pelosi said at the time that if we don't come up with a reasonable action here towards the, fixing the problem, it is a dereliction of duty, and I think she put the words exactly right this time.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, this is their job. They do a lot of things. They worry about a lot of stupid things that they really could leave alone. This is something that it's a national problem because you can carry guns from one place to another, and 12,000 people will be murdered this year, and 19,000 people will commit suicide with handguns. And they're just unwilling to do anything about it.
What's your reaction to the conversation in Albany over the 7 bullets, 10 bullets, 5
bullets?
Well,
you know, I think the one criticism, look, I think that the governor
is doing something,
and I'm 100% supporter of him. There is the argument, and it's a legitimate one, that if they had taken a few more days to read and let some people who might have other information, at least, even if not other ideas, give some input, they could have fixed some of this stuff. And they would say, look, pass the bill, you can come back and fix it. It may look embarrassing in the paper, but so what? And there's something to be said for that. I guess I would have, might have tried to take a few more days, but I certainly shouldn't second guess the governor. He did what was he thought was right, and I happen to agree with him.
All right, why don't we take a break right here, and then...
Let me give you one quick fact.
Sure.
In New York City, the suicide rate is half the national average. And it's because the suicide rate with handguns is a tenth the national average. And that's because, to some extent, good state laws, which gets back to the governor adding to them, is fine. And because of all of our aggressive getting guns off the streets. And that translates into an awful lot fewer, not just murders, where we're running 30% better than last year, which was a record, but also an awful lot fewer suicides and suicides. You know, you think every parent's nightmare.
Mm. No, all of those, all of deaths, whether by gun or otherwise, whatever the circumstance, are tough on a family as well as individuals. Mr. Mayor, sit tight. 16 minutes after 8 o'clock. If you have a 710. We have whittled the available lines down. A couple open if you want to get in. Got a question for later on. 800-321-0710. Mr. Mayor, a shooting last night, I think Brownsville section of Brooklyn. It was a buy and bust. Undercover cops. They stop the guy. Guy pulls a gun, shoots at them. They shoot back. And I hear that the neighborhood is upset because the police did the shooting. But that's not the case. It was the bad guy that created the entire situation.
It was two cops. The buy and bust was to try to buy drugs. That's the standard ways you get drug dealers. And the guy pulled it, shot at them, from what the investigation so far. Keep in mind that you have to have a real investigation here, which goes on, not just what's said in the paper or what witnesses say. Supposedly, the guy shot at them. They shot at him. He's in stable condition. They recovered the gun. There's no question the guy had a gun, and
don't understand the neighborhood railing against the cops but in this situation. When are they condoning the drug dealing and the robbing and the killing and the shootings?
It's not the neighborhood, John. It's a handful of people who either have another agenda or don't think or just knee-jerk reaction, and that leads you into a bill like the bill that was introduced into the
Inspector
City Council.
General.
It's total politics and total pandering to a handful of people. If you go to these communities where there is crime, overwhelmingly the people want the cops to bring back peace and safety to their communities. I thought Bill Thompson, who's running for mayor, said it very well. I didn't listen to his whole speech, but the one part I did hear, he said, I'm worried about stop and frisk. He said, I'm also worried about my son getting killed. And unfortunately, there are neighborhoods in the city where the crime is much higher than in others, and we work as hard as we can. We deploy more resources there and more community outreach and that sort of thing. But there are neighborhoods where, for a whole bunch of reasons, crime is much higher. And there's more guns. And, you know, there's a handful of people that yell and scream. And this bill it really is incredible because, you know, we have brought crime down so much. There used to be 2,300 murders back 2-3 years ago. Last year, we had 419 murders. This year, we're 30%+ lower than that. Last week, we had one murder. And these are record low numbers that nobody could ever conceive. When I was elected or if I was running for office and I said, I'm going to bring crime down, I'm going to bring the murder rate down because shootings have come down right with murderers to this level, you would have been laughed. Every newspaper would have laughed you out of the room. And yet that is what our police department, the commissioner and people all, every single, even staff and the newest ranking, the newest recruit to the police department, all of them together. And this bill would create a second commissioner, which would, it would leave every cop wondering, whose rules does he follow?
And the mayor would be completely hamstrung.
Well, that's also, it would take away a lot of power from the mayor and whoever is the next mayor. You know, and a lot of them haven't thought it out. It's the first time I've ever seen people who want to be the executive try to denude the office before they get it.
Well, but you're running for the come bite them in the.
You're running to have the authority to make a difference and help people, and if you take away the power that the current law gives the executive to make decisions, which you can't do everything in the legislature. You have to have an executive that can make decisions, most things. And that's exactly the opposite direction. I thought Rose Gilhern, who runs the Department of Investigation, I don't have a lot of contact with Rose. I have an agreement with her, which I set day one when I hired her, that she would be totally independent and that I didn't want her to keep me posted a lot of times on investigations. I never want her to think that I tried to slant it, but even just with a question or whatever. And I want to be told just before she makes a big arrest, so because I'm going to get a question in the press. And I've given her more independence than maybe, I don't know, but I'm told more than has been in previous years. Anyways, she wrote a letter, and I thought she said it very well, because this bill would, it creates confusion as to who's in charge, whose rules, who sets policies, and it tries to dictate the procedures and objectives of the police department. And she wrote in her letter, she said, "We investigate corruption at the fire department, but we don't tell the fire department how to fight fires."
How to put fires out.
And I think that puts it right in context. That's not their expertise. She shouldn't tell the police department how to do it. There's also lots of conflicts because she does not investigate any allegations of corruption in the police department. We have five district attorneys and two or three agencies, other agencies, Civilian Complaint Review Board and their internal affairs, and there's a whole bunch of different levels. But she uses detectives to do all of her detective work. She'd have to drop them right away because she can't use the people from a department and agency. There's a reason why that she is not running this. It's just not appropriate. And given all of the progress we've made, you know, you can always do things better, and there's always allegations and sometimes truth, the allegations of people aren't perfect and some people do things that in retrospect they hadn't done, wish they did, or did things that were illegal or whatever. But given the progress we have made in bringing down crime, to tamper with it at this point is just the height of irresponsibility. You could never explain it. If you wanted to do a movie about it, nobody buy the rights to the movie because it's just so inconceivable. You look at us compared to every other city. We have become the role model in the country and in some places around the world for how you bring crime down. And now we want to blow it all up.
And for those that believe an inspector general to oversee the NYPD is going to make it be an improvement and make life better, look to the cities that have them. Los Angeles, New Orleans, and the poster child, Chicago.
This is just one of the worst conceived ideas, and all I can hope is that the speaker manages to get this bill withdrawn or doesn't let it see the light of day. And
I have a sneaking suspicion this is not going to go anywhere because I think there's been such a pushback
from
so many corners.
That could be. And, you know, listen, we've got to work. We'll do, in the end, whatever the law is, we'll comply with the law. But you just, I think, and this is true with a lot of things. You know, you asked before about the magazines in Albany. We've just got to start thinking a little bit more about the implications of things before we rush to legislate and rush to legislate everything. I was talking to somebody yesterday, good-sized company, and there is a law that's passed, I think, of my veto. I don't know where it stands. But if I veto it, they're going to override it anyways. And it is, you cannot discriminate against people in hiring if they have been unemployed for a long time.
We've discussed that at great length here.
Right.
Yes.
And a lot of places have that law. I don't even have a problem with that. But the law explicitly makes it incumbent on the company to prove that that was not the reason they didn't hire somebody. And so what this guy said to me is he's told his people, we're just not going to give an interview to anybody that's unemployed. And I'm not even going to ask how long. Just don't. There's plenty of people who come looking for jobs, who have jobs. All the unintended consequences of a lot of this stuff. If you raise the minimum wage, which I've been in favor of, although I'm not so sure that I think that we're getting carried away. Every legislator and legislature wants to add some more to show they're doing more. You really are going to continue the trend towards, you make it more advantageous to automate. And you could stop it. New Jersey, for example, outlaws self-service gas stations to protect people that work in gas stations so they keep them having their jobs. Having said that, the public likes self-service gas stations because the gas is cheaper. Now, at some point, maybe the public will stand up and yell and scream enough, except that who's ever representing the other side is maybe screaming louder. It's almost like stopping the tides from coming in. We've got to find ways to create jobs for people, not to make them more expensive, particularly right now in the economy. If the economy is booming, you'd have some more flexibility. But it isn't. And companies are making more money, but they're not creating enough jobs because they're using automation.
Automation, exactly. And contraction.
Yes, and there are alternatives going overseas. And interestingly enough, they're not really going overseas, most cases, for lower wages because it costs a lot. People don't stop to think. If you're going to manage something the other side of the world, just the airfare and the hotels and the getting up at 3 in the morning to answer a phone call and that sort of thing, there are real costs to that. It is the skill sets overseas, which gets back to education in this country. We are falling further and further behind. For all the progress we've made in New York, we used to be in the top 5 or 10 in math and reading and that sort of stuff and science. And now we're lucky to be in the top 50.
Not good. Not a good place to be. All right, Mr. Mayor, sit tight. It's 8:32. Let's take a news break on the 21 before 9 o'clock. This is Inner Circle weekend, if I'm not mistaken, isn't it, where the mayor performs with Broadway people?
Well, the Inner Circle is a charity thing. I don't know how much money they raise, but they do raise some and give it to charity, where the press has two segments. They spoof the mayor and the New York City officials and the state officials, and then do a national one. And then the mayor traditionally responds the third act, which doesn't start until very late. And it's a lot of food and booze and shaking of hands and hail fellow, well met. You say hello to everybody, even if you like them, don't like them. And so I think John Lindsay was the one that started using a Broadway cast. And I don't know if everybody's done it since Rudy certainly did it. From the picture of Rudy in drag, which I thought was one of the
that
most,
was my question.
One of the most unfair things ever. Rudy was being a good sport in a Broadway show. Come on! And then some places in the country they just vilified him with it. You can dislike a
so there's
Owl
no, there's no
or
Bloomberg in drag or anything.
No,
like
I've been
that.
Very after I watched Rudy and I learned from.
Well,
somebody said you should learn from experience, but other people's. Well, but that was one of the things I've always thought. You know. Like Rudy's policies or don't, but this was about as unfair as you could be. He really was doing some fun. Anyways, we have Broadway cast. And the reason the mayor's thing goes at the end, because they have to finish their shows on Broadway, take off their makeup, their costumes, come over, put on different costumes, different makeup. And then it goes on. And the mayor, you know, there's always, I can't tell you what's going to happen this time, but in the last 11 of them, the mayor has sung and danced, or some facsimile thereof. My singing tends to be one note, my dancing. One time I wound up, it was a very complicated dance step, and I wound up on the wrong side of the leading lady, and I always wanted to go back and look at a film and see where I screwed up. I went left instead of right.
Just let it go. I will have fun. Have fun over the weekend, as I'm sure you will. Story this morning that the governor, this has to do with teacher evaluation, the governor, to kind of get New York City into the fold, like the 700 other districts in the state, is proposing that any evaluation process fold into and under the Triborough Law.
Triborough Law is similar to the Taylor Law, which applies to New York City, except it's a state law. The law basically says Workers can't strike, but the employer can't freeze them out. So in the case of how it would work in the municipal world is the municipal workers can't strike, but the city or state is obligated to keep paying them at
a
the going rate.
A contract stays
sure,
in
and
effect.
In the case of teachers, they have built-in raises. It's in step functions and not exactly smooth, but basically for every year for the first 20 years. So even when there's no raises technically, they're getting 3% every year on average. And when you talk to the union, they say, oh, that doesn't count. But of course it does.
All right. The governor is attempting to take off the table one of the problems, which was the sunsetting of the evaluation process.
Well, what I had
process.
Said, I haven't read the law. I don't know whether he's introduced it yet or they're going to pass it. So I can't speak to that. But there was this argument that 99% of the counties came to agreements. Yes, they came to agreements which were certified by, or whatever the word is, the State Department of Education. But they were one-year agreements. And there is another state law that says evaluations have to be in two consecutive years. So it's a two-year deal to evaluate a teacher, but only a one-year law. So it was just totally meaningless. And I went on and on about that. And people say, well, you haven't been able to come to an agreement with the union. That is true. And I still hope that we can. We always are trying. But, you know, fundamentally, it's the city gets cut back and the state cut back $240 million from their 2013 budget that we were supposed to get. We did not get that $240 million. It is hard to come to an agreement where the city is the one that's penalized and the kids are the ones that suffer. But the other side, the union, doesn't have any penalty whatsoever because laying off teachers is just not really a practical thing to do. Anyways, we'll see how it works out.
All right.
But I'm always hopeful that we can come to an agreement.
The city council is proposing or is going to send a resolution of request to Albany to ask for 40 speed cameras. Cameras that if you are speeding down the road, nails you, takes a picture of your license
and sends
plate.
You a ticket.
It's ticket and points, I would guess, right?
I assume so. You can have cameras. What came out of the 70s fiscal crisis when the state took over parts, functions that should normally be in the city, like cameras, and the ability to decide who to give parking tickets or speeding tickets or red light tickets to, went from the city to the state. We cannot give a fine without their approval. And we fought for a long time to get red light cameras. We got a handful of them, and Albany saying, oh, isn't that wonderful, we got your handful. We should have red light cameras every place. Why not? If you break the law, why not do it?
In theory, you should have it on every corner.
And we should not use our police officers for that. Our police officers have too much to do. They put their lives in danger all the time. To ask them to do this, when you can automate that, it isn't going to result in any fewer police officers being employed. It'll just make them more valuable because they can work on more important stuff like bringing crime down or preventing crime to begin with. And the argument against using automation is just this craziness that, oh, it's Big Brother. Get used to it. When there's a murder, a shooting or a robbery or something, the first thing the police do is they go to every single building in the neighborhood and say, let us see your security camera tapes, because everybody's got them. And you think that they're good today. You wait in 5 years, the technology's getting better. There'll be cameras every place. Get used to it. Whether you like it or not, is it an infringement on your rights? I don't happen to think so. But regardless, you're not going to stop that. And why not use cameras to do this? Speeding is a really bad thing because if you're hit by a car at something like 40 miles an hour, there's a 70% chance you die. At 30 miles an hour, there's an 80% chance you'll live. Just so 10 miles an hour over a 30-mile-an-hour speed limit. That's why the speed limit is 35 miles an hour in most parts of the city. We live in a crowded city. This is not the Wild West. This is not, Kansas. They have roads that are straight. You see nobody. Okay, or in Germany, there's no speed limits. They go 110, 120 miles an hour. I don't know how safe that is, but you're not going to hit somebody else. In New York City, you hit somebody else.
What is, and I don't think I've ever asked you this before, either on or off the air, what's your position on drones, domestic use of drones by the NYPD or any other entity? Good idea or bad idea?
It's, It's scary.
It is scary.
But what's the difference whether the drone is up in the air or on the building?
I mean,
intellectually, I'd have trouble making a distinction. And, you know, you're going to have face recognition software. People are working on that. It's just we're going into a different world, uncharted. And like it or not, what people can do or governments can do is different. And you can, to some extent, control, but you can't keep the tides from coming in. We're going to have more visibility and less privacy. I don't see how you stop that. And it's not a question of whether I think it's good or bad. I just don't see how you could stop that. Because we're going to have them. And you know, drones.
The question is, where do you draw a particular line?
I mean, well, if I fly a drone and I bring it down outside of your house and start peering in your bedroom window.
Which they can do now with those little tiny little bugs.
Yeah, sure, you can do it. You know, is that right? If I walk up to your house, and maybe the property line is so close to the window that I'm not on your property and look in. There's got to be peeping Tom legislation. So I suppose we've addressed the issue a little bit, but now it's going to get to be much more serious. You can do it from further away. You can see more. You can do it continuously. You can do it undetected in a ways you couldn't before.
Well, look at Google Maps. Google Maps. I mean, you put your house under Google Map, and you can see your car. You can see whatever else is out
there. And Al-Qaeda can do it, too.
Right.
That's a scary thing. It's a different world. And, you know, everybody wants their privacy, but I don't know how you're going to maintain it. I mean, this is something that society really has to think about, and not by writing a quick piece of legislation. These are long-term, serious problems. And whether we have the discipline to approach problems that way, I don't know. You know, I mean, everybody demagogues on all these things. And there's some serious issues before you write legislation.
Well, the gun law is a perfect example. I mean, that's not an insignificant discussion, and yet we go through it. We have the events, the unfortunate and tragic events, and we still can't get even one step closer.
Well, see, I think you could come to a very rational solution to the gun problem that would satisfy everybody but the last fringe element. Nobody wants to take away the Second Amendment. Whether it's good or bad, it's part of our history. It's part of the Constitution. It is the law. And it is what it says is what the Supreme Court says it says, not what you or I think it says. That's the way our system works. You can go all the way to the Supreme Court. And they even change their minds periodically as to what the Constitution says. But they can say, and they have said, Congress has said, and the Supreme Court has said it's okay, no sales to minors, criminals, substance abuse problems, and psychiatric problems. And there are 50,000 gun shops in America. You know how many 50,000 is? There are only 32,000 post offices, and you see the brouhaha because most of them we can't afford, and there are 15,000 McDonald's. And you think McDonald's every place? 15,000. So 50,000 gun deals, and the vast, 99% of the gun dealers are honest, and they do the background checks. Doesn't hurt anybody, doesn't cost anything. It's that when that legislation was written, there weren't gun shows and there weren't internet sales. So today, if you could get the internet sales and guns shows covered. And in states where they've done it for state law, 14 states, they've had the same experience New York City had. The suicide rate's cut in half because it's harder to get a gun.
All right, Mr. Mayor, we've got some folks on the phone. We'll get to them in just a moment here. Final break, coming right back. 9 o'clock in the morning. What do you say we go to the phones here? Check it out. We're going to start with Phil in Queens. Phil, you're up first. You got the mayor.
Hi, Mr. Mayor.
Hi,
I
Phil.
Want to speak to you about gun control. I agree with several of the things that you've done, but I don't agree with all of it.
That's okay.
The missing element in all of this is the media never reports that firearms are used a minimum of several hundred times a day by citizens around the country, and even in New York occasionally, like the Vietnam vet in Kew Gardens a few years ago who had an unregistered shotgun and saved a neighbor from being murdered.
Well, Phil, I'm sure that's the case. You know, the trouble is that there have been a lot of people killed with guns in the meantime, and one time one person saves a life or saves his own life, and that's true. And I'm not opposed to guns as long as you don't have a criminal record or a minor or whatever. Particularly if you want it, you can use it for sport, you can use it to defend yourself. In the city, we have carry laws, you have to get a permit and that sort of thing. I will say assault weapons aren't really much of a problem in the city. They're much more of a problem outside of the city. But when I talk to people in the military, they will tell you that today's assault weapons, they think they're even dangerous a lot of times for their own troops with lots of training and that sort of thing. And for the average person to have them, it just might not make a lot of sense. The other thing is, you know, if you think about everybody carrying a gun and people say, oh, in a theater, if somebody pulls a gun, there'd be people there to shoot him. People starting to shoot in a theater and everybody killing each other, you'd kill half the people in the theater. But you're right. There are people that use weapons to protect themselves, and I'm not opposed to them having it as long as they're responsible people.
And so, permitted in the right way.
Yeah.
All right, Phil, thanks a lot. Let me go to Gene out there on Long Island. Gene, what's your question for the mayor?
Hi.
Hi, good morning, Mayor. Good morning, John. It's not a question, actually. It's just a suggestion because I know rather than mandate the smoking, hide the cigarettes, and the big drinks and so forth. People love the programs that you have instituted, and I think if you did something where it would be New York City Biggest Loser, the boroughs, Biggest Loser, even put the boroughs in competition with each other, and you have it on your website.
Love to do it. It's a great idea. Maybe we shall see if we can do some of that stuff. You know, what I've always said, Gene, is I'm not opposed to banning things, or I'm not in favor of banning things unless they're really dangerous. For example, you know, we do restrict your freedoms. If we catch you drinking and driving, we stop you. If there's asbestos in the classroom, we get the kids out of the classroom. But when it comes to, for example, smoking, I'm in favor of making it more expensive and more difficult. But if you want to go and smoke, as long as nobody has to breathe your smoke, I would argue you have a right to do it, even though 7,000 New Yorkers or something like that die from smoking every year. And our smoking rate's way down, but it hasn't gone down in the last 2 or 3 years among kids. And so we've got to do something about that. Some of the stuff, though, we're doing like the sugary drink ban, which people talk about. It's not banning anything. It is just saying you can't use a cup size greater than 16 ounces. If you want to drink 32 ounces, take 2 cups. You want 64, take 4 cups. And the idea is maybe you'll stop and think after 1 cup and not go back for the second. And if you drank less, you'd be better off. Full sugar drinks are the kind of things you get the calories, but it doesn't trigger your brain and say that you're full. Whereas if you have, you know, if you have 800 calories of greasy fries and a hamburger, which incidentally I love both, but at least when you finish that, you're full. If you have 800 calories of full sugar drinks, you are just as hungry as you were before, and that's why people target full sugar drinks. And the beverage companies are trying to act responsibly. They are trying as hard as they can to move people to less fattening products and diet fizzy drinks, or however they phrase it. But they're in business and they're going to make the product. And there's some evidence that if you drink an awful lot of it, it's bad for you. But the real answer is that you should be watching your weight, and these empty calories aren't good for you. But the competition thing is a great idea. I'm going to talk to a couple of people about that.
All right, Gene, there you go. Let me try Larry in New York City. What you got on their mind, Larry?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning.
My problem is waiting for a bus, the bus stop situation, because you're waiting and you never really know where a bus is going to stop. You're waiting here, the bus stops there, and vice versa. My suggestion would be, why can't we have like a big stop line on the where the bus driver would know where to stop, then we'd know where to stand, I would know where to queue up.
It sounds to me like that's a brilliant idea. Why don't we do that?
Why don't we do that, Mr. Mayor?
I don't
Mayor?
Know that. You know, there are places, I guess, that do it, and
there's a paintbrush and
I'm gonna talk to our transportation commissioner and have her talk to the MTA, because between them they can do it. I will say I'm an expert on subways. I never take the bus, I take the subway. Girlfriend takes the bus all the time. She says the buses are well run. I can tell you the subways from first personal experience. When I came in the 60s to New York, They broke down all the time, covered with graffiti, panhandlers.
And just they were dirty on the inside.
Filthy. Today, it's very hard to find any complaints about our subway system. I know the MTA gets bashed all the time. I'm a fan.
You know, and it's the subways certainly are the only way to get around town. There's no
question. Yeah, I mean, if I go up and downtown, the trouble is there's a big part of New York City where people have moved and we don't have subway lines going out there. And, you know, if you got money from the federal government for protection from floods, I'm not so sure you wouldn't be better off. They won't do it, but use it to expand the subway lines to other parts where people now live. And deal with the floods is, you know, once every X number of year thing. But
all right,
that's
well,
not going to sell.
Our time is up this time around, Mr. Mayor. Thank you very much. Have yourself a good week. Catch
Thank
up
you
with
too.
You next time as we move here on the John Gambling Show. It's a